which I am here in studio. We are going to be talking about mammal stranding, and we've got the ladies from the Whale and Dolphin Conservation Network. They're expanding their stranding network territory. We've got two people in here. Repeats, you came back. Thank you very much, Sarah McCormick. You're the stranding coordinator. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Regina Sylvia, you're the executive director. Tell me a little bit about your organization for people that don't know all the wonderful things that you do. Regina.
So Whale and Dolphin Conservation is a global organization, and our North American office is located right in Plymouth, Massachusetts, so it's pretty cool to be near the water and near whales. And we do a lot. So not sure where to start with all of it, but we have a growing education program going into school systems. We have a life-size inflatable right whale that we can take into the schools to really be able to have kids appreciate. We can bring whales to the classroom.
Let me just back up here a minute. You said
life-size
right whale. So what are you, how big are you talking? Like the size of a Winnebago here?
She is a little over 40 feet long. And we can actually fit a classroom of about 20 or 30 kids inside of her mouth. So we can take kids inside the whale, teach them about whales. They literally get to experience and see a whale. We can bring it into the school. So we're doing a lot more with school programs. We are working to protect critically endangered North Atlantic right whales. So we're trying to work with fishermen to test new kinds of fishing gear so that they can keep fishing in places that right whales are. We are also have a really important boater outreach program called seaspout.org, where we're trying to reach out to boaters because we have so many more whales coming close to shore. And I think last year you guys probably also covered it with, we had those humpback whales coming really close in, and there
so
were some
beautiful
interactions with boats. So we want to keep everybody safe. So we have that going on, and we have our amazing stranding program and our amazing stranding coordinator here, who's responding to all the animals that are in need, the marine mammals that are out there. So whales, dolphins, porpoises, seals that are coming into the shore. So if they're sick, injured, alive or dead, we try and go out there, because if they're alive, we want to do what we can to try and help rescue them. And if they're not, we want to learn why, what happened, and what we can learn from them.
They're amazing animals. And it's interesting that you talked about the right whales. One of our longtime listeners here since the beginning of the station, Matt from Pembroke, is the one who was behind pushing about having the state Right Whale Day in April. So that's something that I know is near and dear to many people's hearts. Now, Sarah, when you say you're the stranding coordinator, what does that mean? If there's a gray seal or a harbor seal on the beach, what happens?
So I oversee our Marine Animal Rescue and Response Program, otherwise known as our Stranding Response Program. So we cover about 200 miles of territory now along the south shore of Massachusetts. We have a hotline that anyone can call and report a live or deceased marine mammal to. That number is 617-688-6872. We will send a team out there to try to assess the animal. If it's a live animal, we want to keep people back, keep the animal safe, keep people and their dogs safe. If it's a deceased animal, we will collect a range of information for ourselves and for the National Stranding Database.
So it's don't call the New England Aquarium. This is your project, and you've expanded your scope.
Yeah, we were only covering from Marshfield to Plymouth last year, and we're really excited. We received a number of calls from Marshfield through Weymouth last year. So we decided after 1 year of setting up the program, we were ready to tackle and take on more territory. So we cover through Webb Memorial State Park in Weymouth.
Well, and then an easy website too, if you can't remember the phone number, whales.org. And so that's a good way to find out more about what you do. What are the biggest challenges with dealing with stranded marine mammals? Is it keeping people away and keeping people respectfully away from interfering with an animal, I imagine?
That's a great question. The biggest hurdles to let people know that we're here and to get our hotline out there. So we're really going to be ramping up our outreach, especially within the new territory from Marshfield through Weymouth. So letting people know, call our hotline, 617-688-6872 for any live or dead marine mammals in that area. We'll get out there. So that's the first hurdle, let people know we're here. The second one is exactly, people have really great intentions. They want to help the animals. But the best thing that we can do for these animals if they're alive is to keep our distance. So 150 feet is the recommended distance in order to prevent stress on that animal unnecessarily.
Now, typically, if this isn't something that happens just every once in a long while, if you've expanded your network, there's got to be a lot of these strandings out there. How do you have a number on average that you respond to per season, or is it year round?
Last year we received reports about 30 animals to our hotline. We are expecting that number to grow, especially expanding our area. But as I mentioned, getting people to know that we're out here, get our hotline number out there, is really the biggest tackle. So that number was a little bit lower than expected given the history of the area. But now that people know we're here, they're calling our hotline, we're expecting that number to jump up more, jump up higher this year.
And I was just going to add something as you made me think about some of what you were talking about, Sarah, is that one of the reasons that we were able to do this was because of the generosity of many of the donors who helped to support the Stranding Network. We had an Amazon wish list. We had some other things. And because we had so many people that were donating money toward the Stranding Network or toward the equipment, really did enable us to be able to grow a little bit faster than we had anticipated. So this is a great opportunity for me to say thank you to anybody, particularly people in the area that were very generous and helped us do that. So can't name people's names, all of them, but if anybody's great. Listening, thank you, because it was huge.
And are you still looking for some more volunteers to help out with response and maybe some other things that you do with your network?
Yeah, like any nonprofit, we're really reliant on volunteers, and mm-hmm. so there's. And I think, different volunteers or different roles for volunteers, depending on the day, where it's kind of dynamic. And sometimes it's literally just needing somebody to come in and help us stuff envelopes. And, if somebody wants to come mm-hmm. in the office and do that, that's always a huge help. Other times it might be sitting and babysitting a seal because it's fine and it just needs some rest. And mm-hmm. we just need people to say, hey, don't let your dog go over there because it really does need some rest. So there's a suite of different things that volunteers can do, and we are always very grateful for anybody who's willing to volunteer. And we have a form on the website now for people to be able to fill out.
Whales.org. And then this is interesting. Now, during your response, you're not just saying, oh, yes, and wrapping them up with a blanket. You're collecting good data, data that helps the whole ecosystem. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Sure. So if we get a report of a live animal and we, first step is to give it space to assess it, see if it's injured, sick, any ailments. If we decide that it does need intervention, mm-hmm. We will, just like, if you were not feeling well, you'd go to the doctors. We can't really pick them up and deliver them to a vet super easily, so we try to do an on-site assessment, but we will collect a lot of the same information. We're looking at vital signs, heart rate, temperature. We can collect blood from animals. We will listen to their heart and their lungs. So it's just like going to a doctor's office. We work with some on-call veterinarians to help do this work. But we're really trying to learn as much as we can about those animals and to get them the care that they need.
That's terrific. Regina, what do you find the most satisfying part of this job?
That's a amazingly difficult question. I think, it's...
No pressure.
Yeah, none. I think the most satisfying part of the job for me, honestly, is oftentimes interacting with the supporters or getting a mm-hmm. note from, we had a 9-year-old who wrote in and raised $93 for us.
Oh, and how do you keep from crying when you read things
like
that?
You don't. From
I haven't even read it. And I'm getting teary here.
Yeah, a child from Colorado.
It's so heartfelt. It's so innocent.
So it is absolutely, and it's just a constant reminder of what we're doing and the people on whose behalf we're doing it, and just to get that sort of feedback from the supporter saying, we want you to do this. We are here and we care about what you're doing. We have actually incorporated in our staff meetings having a supporter of the month to try and just, there's so many people that write notes and send pictures of, their dogs or their family, and mm-hmm. You connect with them, and that really, doing that job on behalf of them really does matter.
I believe it. It sounds like a wonderful organization. Sarah, has there been anything that we spoke about here that I haven't touched on that you think our listeners need to know about what you folks do at Whale and Dolphin Conservation?
Sure. So I think when it comes to marine animal rescue and response, the biggest things to know, if you're walking the beach and you come across an animal in need of help, call our hotline. Again, that number is 617-688-6872. Or you can go to our website, whales.org, to look up that information. keep your distance from the animal. We recommend 150 feet. That's to keep both you and the animal safe. If you can take or note your location, if you can drop a pin or send us GPS coordinates, that would be great. And then lastly, to get any photos or video from a distance, we can tell a lot of information from a distance. That's great. That tells us species. That usually gives us an idea of size, and also can tell us what resources we need to respond, what equipment, how many people.
That's a great tip. So you can really get a good idea, not just hear a description. That is terrific. Well, it sounds like you're doing some wonderful things. I'm so glad you've expanded your network up to Weymouth. I'm sure, again, I know there's a use for it. I know the last time that you folks came in, we did get a lot of calls. People were very interested in what.
That's awesome.
What's in people are, you know, people love this unique part of the state that we live in, where we were able to be up close and personal and see some of these beautiful creatures in the sea. You know, these mammals, occasionally they need a little bit of help, and that's great that you folks are able to provide that. Again, Regina Sylvia, the executive director, and Sarah McCormick, the stranding coordinator for whale and dolphin conservation, based in Plymouth, but they're working all the way up through Weymouth. We appreciate you joining us today, and we're going to put this up online, and we'll get some great photos from you and put this interview up on our website as well. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
You're very welcome.